Richard Bridge and Spider podcast.
Well, I was in Auckland for the weekend, and we couldn't stay with Mum, unfortunately, because long story. Anyway, we're staying in this little hotel that we stay at occasionally, and I had been round to Mum's place to pick up her car. She said, "Well, you use my car," so Sheree and I drove back to the hotel. And I had to go into reception to get the slip to put on the dashboard so they don't tow the car away.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Here's the spare key. You go up to the room.
Yeah.
You might as well go up. There's the swipe card. See you later.
Yeah.
I have to wait down the front. There's a huge queue. Eventually, I get the car down to the basement. This is about 20 minutes. Get up into the lift. Get into the
room. Tough when you're on holidays.
It is, mate. You know.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
And?
We'll hear anyway.
Oh, you're a bastard.
No, keep going. Sorry.
And?
I think you're still pedalling at this stage,
Peter. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's right. I was texting you. Yeah. And anyway, I get into the room and no Sheree. I'm thinking, oh, that's a bit odd. You know, 20 minutes. And I thought, oh, well, she'll turn up in a minute.
Yeah.
Another 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Still no Sheree.
Oh, that's worrying.
Can't ring her because her phone doesn't work over there. So I'm looking over the balcony, wondering maybe she's walked across the road to the shops
looking
or something.
Looking over the balcony.
No, she might have gone across the road to the shops. Stop it.
Anyway,
police car pulls in.
What?
To the driveway out the front of the hotel. I thought, what the hell's going on here? So maybe she's down in the foyer and she's just picking up some magazines. So I get out of the foyer, look around, can't see her. Two coppers standing at the counter, all looking a little bit serious. I think, what the hell's going on here? Go back up to the room, still no Sheree. It was almost an hour. And I'm starting to think, this is like Taken.
Where the hell is she?
I had no idea
where
airport, she was.
Like airport, stuck in a hotel though.
Yeah, had no idea where she was. And then, after close on an hour, I hear this tap on the front door. I open up the front door, and there she is standing there with the jeans over her arm and her pair of shoes. And I said, "Where the hell have you been?" She said, "I was in the wrong room."
What?
I said, "What? How did that happen?" So she got in the lift, and somebody must have pushed another button.
Yeah.
So she just got out of the lift when it stopped, doors open, went straight to what she thought was our room, used the swipe key.
Got in.
And it actually opened the door. And she said, "Oh, there's some music playing on the radio, and I thought you were there." And the room was lovely and tidy. And she said, obviously, the cleaners had been. And she laid out on the bed, and she was having a bit of a snooze.
Oh, gee, thank God you said snooze.
Did she have undies on? What are you talking about?
Yeah, she did have undies on. And then she after a little while, she woke up and she thought, "Where's Richard?" And then she went, "Where are the suitcases? This is not our room."
Did she think of perhaps putting her pants back on when she left the room?
She ran out of there because she was scared whoever's room it was that we're going to check in and walk in the front door and see her on the bed.
Well, wouldn't they be scared seeing a girl without pants on in their room
she had
as well?
She had a long shirt on, so you couldn't really notice it. Went screaming up to the right floor and burst as, "Oh, I can't believe it, I was in the wrong room, I was sleeping on the bed, I was there for an hour."
Where was she in the footy days?
So, with The Voice this year, we've got Delta Goodrum's back.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know why she's just not a very liked woman with men or women.
No. I don't know either. And she, look, I think...
She carries on.
Yeah, she carries on. The whole thing
acts
very staged. It looks very staged at this stage.
You've got Ricky Martin, who's beautiful. You've got the Madden brothers doing it together, Benji and Joel, right? And they're lovely. We've met them before.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jessie J. She's an amazing singer and performer. Now, a few things that bug me. First of all, if you're there to listen to someone else singing, shut up. Don't sing. They sing along with
the judges are singing along.
Yes, they sing along.
Oh,
and it's like, it's not about you. It's about listening to this person who's trying to sing. And they're singing along and Delta's doing little dance. It's like, it's not about you.
Yeah, and then they put their hand right near the buzzer so the crowd gets louder so they can't even hear the singer.
Yeah.
And then Ricky Martin, I don't know, his hands mustn't work because he's got to use his feet to press the buzzer. Use your hand. That's what it's there for.
It's not live. They've cut together all the clapping at different stages. You can tell it's not sequential.
Right.
Like, it's not.
Okay.
And then Jessie J, of course, you hear the backstory with someone who's lost their father, and then all of a sudden Jessie J goes, "I can hear the heaviness in your heart." It's like, you so knew this setup. So anyway, now the big fight is over Joel and Benji, and they're being very nasty to each other. Listen to this.
To work with not only as songwriters and producers and what we do at home, but Benj, you're killing me, man. You're killing me. I'm giving the pitch. I'm helping out.
You're really
I'm
not.
Helping.
You're really not.
I am helping. When you come to our team.
Chill.
No, I'm just saying, when you come to our team, we listen,
God, shut up, Benj.
He's in a Delta.
Oh. Is this all you want to work with?
Ooh.
Yeah, I reckon the whole lot stays. They're all starting to get really fiery, and Ricky Pickett on Delta, and Delta saying this about Jesse. It is just an absolute act, the whole lot.
Well, I follow The Voice with the punch of the television, and then it's over.
And it's also the final day, too, for Superintendent Jim Keogh. Him and his squad of men and ladies, you've seen them on the TV on Gold Coast Cops with the Rapid Action Patrol, virtually cleaned up the whole of the Gold Coast.
That's right.
When we had the trouble with the outlaw motorcycle gangs and also armed robberies around the place. This is your final day today. You're moving on to...
Yeah, going to Mount Gravatt, starting their first thing in the morning.
Right. Does the Rapid Action Patrol group shut down, or is this still going to continue?
No, still goes. Everybody's asking. Yeah, Inspector Shane Holmes, who's here with us today, is going to look after things for us. So, yeah, it'll all be business as usual.
Is this because have they moved to Mount Gravatt?
No, Rapid Action Patrols are still going to stay here.
No, the bikies.
Is a crime picked up
in Mount Gravatt or no?
No, they want my expertise up there trying to get the people who are milking the crab pots in the Brisbane River.
Look, I tell you what, when it comes to a lot of political members and ministers and people high up in high-ranking jobs, you know, you get the normal boring interviews, but you have always entertained us, Jim. You have always done... You listen to our show. You're a fan of us. You're a good egg, and we're a fan of you. But you, every time, for a policeman, the stuff you say, you probably shouldn't. And that's why it's hilarious. There will never be another you.
Maybe that's why they're getting rid of me.
No, I tell you what, though. Seriously, the poor bugger. Whoever comes after you, we're just going to be so bored with them because no one can be.
He's watching.
Yeah, you better be good, mate. You better be good on air, I tell you. I'm threatening a policeman.
Well, good at something.
What we've done for you, we thought, because we adore you. Thank you for your time here.
Done a magnificent job on the Gold Coast.
You have.
Thanks, guys. But I really got to say, I've got to squeeze this in here. The community of the Gold Coast have been fantastic. Right behind Rap from the outset, cleaning up the streets and giving the streets back to the Gold Coast community is the biggest buzz I could ever ask for.
Oh, bless. We'll miss you very much. Thank you for your awesome job. And we put together a special tribute just for you, Superintendent Jim Keogh.
Thank you.
Down on moped mayhem. Have you named this new task force you're putting together?
No, but we've identified the group, the Moped Mongies. Unbelievable. Incredible. We get rid of the Mongols, the Fings, the Black Yulans, and the Moped Mongies come and get it.
One raid there, a $50,000 bobcat was recovered. The main raid here on the coast was Clear Island Waters.
Look, I've got three irons in the fire, I got to tell you. You know that hydro raid we did yesterday?
Yes, I do.
Could be some specials. Just keep an eye out for that. Now, if that goes bad, I've got another one. I've got the Banditos on the line who are actually going to donate the money.
Really?
If I am thrown in the water and only if the water is boiling. I'm not real keen on that one. It's a rich man's
world. We've got a new suspect. And this came up from one of the film crew here working on Gold Coast Cops.
Right.
Now, we're looking at some footage.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this bridge up close and personal last Saturday with a very prominent newsreader here from the Gold Coast.
Oh, my God, don't, Jim.
Yeah, look, the raids continue. Last week, the rebels, there was a closure of the rebels here on the Gold Coast and also up there in Brisbane. This guy goes by the name of Peter Foster Everett. Look, if you come across him, please give us a call. I was reading his profile and it said may feign a heart attack if confronted by police. And then to the southern end of the coast, we've got this crazy lady roaming the streets with a shotgun screaming at bats in the middle of the night. Oh, look, plenty of fodder there for series two, let me tell you.
This time a year ago, Task Force Takeback, as we were then, we were totally focused on the criminal motorcycle gang members. Now we've morphed into Rapid Action Patrols. We've doubled in strength and size.
Don't forget the tattoo register for the police too. We've got to get those eyebrows on the system. I think we're going to have to go to a shot. We're going to have to go to a close-up shot. So don't have too many drinks the night before. Guys, thanks very much for your support. Hope you enjoy the show. Again, they're professional. It'll look good.
Yeah, you look good.
Thanks, Jim.
Go off and be a star. Go on, go and be a star.
See you, guys.
Bye.
Heading back to his air conditioning trailer.
And a very big day today. Very excited. I'm going down to Melbourne today. I'm going to play in the AFL Legends game.
What?
So the EJ Legends game.
You said you were never playing AFL ever again.
No, it's not really a game. It's really just a bit of touch. We just run around there and just joke around and muck around. So
well, at your age.
Oh, that's really cool.
Can you imagine Peter Spider Everett going out onto the paddock saying, oh, it's just a bit of fun, it's just a bit of touch.
No, we don't
take it seriously.
Full on.
No, because there's called the Richie Vandenberg Award. If you do take it too serious, you get an award and you get picked on all night because they say if you take it too serious. So a lot of the ex-players obviously playing, it's going to be fantastic. You know, from Billy Brownless to the Duck Carey. And Carl Stefanovic's actually making a bit of an appearance.
Really?
And Will Davison, also the V8 driver, so it should be a little bit of fun.
Is Cherie going down with Boston?
Well, this is the interesting thing. This is going to be the first proper game that Boston sees me really play.
Oh.
Because he's being so young when he was born, he actually never saw me play at a proper oval or anything. So,
that's fantastic.
And even when I was playing at Labrador, it was probably a little bit too young. So now he's into his footy.
Oh.
He wants to come down and watch. So he's flying down too.
He's going to think you're a little bit of a legend. Watch Wayne Carey around Cherie.
Good luck doing
that. The duck and the kiwi.
Or do you think it's more of a matter of Boston not actually wanting to see the game? Sheree just wanting to keep an eye on him of all the festivities after the game.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't think that through, did you?
Yeah. You'll be the only team member back home in the hotel, locked up in the bedroom at 10:30 at night.
No possible way. I'm going back to the olden days. I'm going to be wait for age best on ground after midnight.
So we won't see you till next week. Is that what you're saying?
Fair chance. I'll be on tomorrow morning, but I don't know what.
Do you know, yesterday it was very nice. I got to hang out with some very good blokes.
Yes.
And
you do that every morning from 5 to 9.
Oh, God love you. Talk yourself up, eh? I hung out with the boys from Scale Seafood. Now, Scale Seafood, they're on the Tweed.
Right.
And they often win with the best of the Gold Coast that we do. You know, the Gold FM Awards.
Yes, the best seafood.
And they've won overall, the best business when we've done it. And I was hanging out with... we went to the Ivory.
On the Tweed there.
Now, I've never been there. And it was beautiful. And you thought, gee, we are so blessed with so many beautiful places on the water.
Lovely.
And we
location.
Thought, if that was in Sydney, that would be pumping.
Oh, yeah. The rocks.
On the water, imagine, just along from the flower drum or something.
Wanda.
Oh, I had a 500-gram ribeye on the bone.
Wow, at the Ivory.
At the Ivory, quite a few stone and woods. But I hung out with the guys, and good morning to Scale Seafood.
Is that a form of the detox?
No, I was retoxing yesterday. And I have to say hello to Stephen with the PH and his brother Michael with an AE. Stephen is the young one, born 74, Michael 71. So when you first go along and you meet them, you don't really know them, you know. So it's fun. And then after a few beers, and it's like, I wouldn't mind a red, really nice red.
Oh.
And then, with your steak.
So
and then
you're fully toxed.
All out.
And then there's a lot of toxin going on. So the conversations, yes. It's funny how they go from just normal, how are you,
business.
What are you doing, blah, 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 to TMI. I have told Stephen and Michael way too much. TMI.
Oh,
too much information.
No.
I have told these poor blokes stuff that you guys don't even know.
Oh, dear.
Told them about family.
Oh, boy.
And then can I have another red? Oh, give me a vodka lime and soda. That's what I need. Cleansing up. Let me tell you about my mother.
Didn't.
What?
You didn't get onto the vodkas because then I know you're in trouble.
The Jägermeister's at the final.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't do that. So these poor guys, right? So, anyway, so I get home. And I was like, I know I've got some frozen sticky date pudding in the fridge, in the freezer. Right. So I continued retoxing, right? So I heated that up. And then I go to bed. And, of course, I can't because I've got a belly full of 500 grams of ribeye, a few bodies, a few reds.
Stone and wood.
And the sticky date pudding. Yeah. So I am buzzing in bed. And on top of that, this is the only thing that just kept on going around and around and around in my head was this.
The freshest fish without file, got a scale.
That's right.
The freshest fish without file,
Guide us, Giles. Yep. Freshest fish without fire. Yep. Guide us, Giles. Kept on going. Just kept on going. I think it was the sugar rush. It made me vomit. Yes, don't. It's making me woozy just listening to it. Seriously, that's what it was like last night. I'm lying in bed till 11. It's going, please stop. Please stop, Scales.
It was like,
please.
You're on the boat fishing for it.
Stop it. Please stop it. Stop the pain. I can't do it anymore.
Richard, Bridge and Spider. Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.